Turn now to the book of Joshua, chapter 11, page 271 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading only the text verse, and that's verse 15. Joshua 11, 15, page 271 in your Scofield Bible. And let's read that verse together. Ready? As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good evening. What a wonderful start to the service to remember Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And how good it is to launch into yet another service that honors thee. And this church has been a lighthouse of bringing thy message to needy people. And we are a needy people again tonight. Often we don't know what we need. You know what we need, and you've told the preacher what we need, and so we ought to be awfully anxious tonight to hear something of our need. Bless the service, our preacher, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, as is always the case, we're about, 20 minutes later than usual when we have the Lord's Supper. I always remind you that I am aware of the hour, and I promise you that my message tonight will not be as lengthy as usual. I'll be finished preaching, I'm almost sure, by 8:30. I'm going to sort of, to try to help you tonight, maybe not a typical Sunday night sermon. I want to speak tonight on the subject, you cannot improve on the old-time religion. You cannot improve on the old-time religion. I read for you that one verse we read a while ago, and I want you to listen carefully. I'll emphasize a part of it. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And I want you to notice this. God didn't command Joshua. God commanded Moses. And Moses then commanded Joshua. And so did Joshua. And here's my text. Listen carefully. He left nothing undone of all, Joshua, left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me tonight to be to this congregation and to each individual exactly what we and it needs. Speak to my heart and through me to the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit up straight. Listen carefully. I do want to say before I start the message, I'm going to speak some things tonight about what you should do when I'm gone. I don't plan to leave real soon in case you get your hopes up. People often ask me across the country, who's going to take your place? And I say, where am I going? Maybe you know something I don't know. Have you talked to my doctor or something? But I have no intention of a soon retirement or soon, no premonition of a soon death. But I do, at my age, want you to be prepared, because I want this church to be here 50 years from now, just like it is now. Moses had led Israel for 40 years. Now get it carefully. Set up straight. Listen carefully. Moses had led Israel for 40 years. Joshua was his servant, his assistant-servant. Joshua had no aspirations whatsoever for Moses' job. He was called simply to obey Moses. Moses died, yet Moses still led Israel after he died. Joshua continued to obey Moses after he died. As our scripture said, Joshua left nothing undone of all that God, or the Lord, commanded Moses. So nothing changed. When Moses died, they kept on doing what they did while Moses was alive. And Joshua was still Moses' assistant pastor, if you please. Even though Moses was in heaven, what God had told Moses to do, Moses told Joshua what God told him what to do, and Joshua continued doing so. You see, Joshua did not think he could improve it. Moses was still his boss. He sought no new commander from God, and he needed no new commander from God, because God had spoken to the man who for 40 years had led the people of God. And the successor was simply to carry out the same work that God had commanded Moses to carry out. Now I want to talk to you for a while, and I want you to listen to me. I'm going to call some names of some churches tonight, and if that offends you, then you've been offended before, and I'm sure you'll be offended again someday. I've watched the great churches in America pass off the scene. I won't tell you the main reason why they passed off the scene. The Joshuas did not obey the commands that God gave to their Moses. They thought they could improve on what Moses had built. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't improve on the old-time religion. You can't find a better Bible than the King James Bible. You can't find a better work than soul winning. But these men who succeeded the Joshuas, the Moses like Dr. G.B. Vick, the Moses like Dr. Lee Robertson, the Moses like Dr. J. Frank Norris, the Moses like Dwight L. Moody, some of these men felt that they could improve upon what Moses did, and they sought to improve it, but the honest, simple truth is it caused the destruction, the decay, and all across America tonight, you have churches that once were great, soul-winning institutions that have been destroyed by good men and spiritual men who somehow thought, and by the way, in most cases, they are far more talented men than the Moses. But, brother, if you got a winning batting order, don't change the batting order. Go to Fort Worth, Texas, and see what improvement did. Years ago, a young man about my age became pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, succeeding Dr. J. Frank Norris, the Moses of Fort Worth. This young man was the same age that I am. On the same Sunday that he became pastor of 3,000 people, attenders, at the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, I became pastor of 44 people at the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. As our church began to grow and folks began to find out about our church, I was invited by this successor, and by the way, a man far more brilliant, in my opinion, intellectually, than Dr. J. Frank Norris was. And Dr. J. Frank Norris was a giant intellectually. This man had charisma, big, tall, good-looking young man. He had charisma, and he was the Joshua to succeed the Moses of the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas. I knew him well. I used to preach for him time and time again. I preached probably 50 times at the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas. Used to have tent revivals all over Fort Worth. They'd go to the north section of Fort Worth, have a big tent revival, go to the south section, the east section, the west section, and have tent revivals in the sections of Fort Worth. And every time he had one, he asked me to come over and preach for him, and I did. I sat down and talked to him one night after the service in a little restaurant, and he said, and I quote, he said, "I believe that I can improve the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth." Now, he may have been an intellectual, but he was a dumb bunny, I'll tell you for sure. Improve what Dr. J. Frank Norris had done? What God commanded Moses to do, Joshua carried out, because Joshua could not improve on the commandments that God gave to Moses. And I said to him, "Homer," I said, "leave it alone." I said, "Don't touch it. Don't change a thing. Obey the commands that God gave to Dr. J. Frank Norris." I explained the term original intent of the Constitution. I said argument between the conservatives and the liberals about our Constitution, the Supreme Court even, was divided on this, is original intent. In other words, should the Supreme Court make the decision on the basis of what the founders of the writers of the Constitution meant or how they interpret it now? And the truth is, they have no right, I say the Supreme Court of the United States has no right to go against the original intent of our founding fathers wrote the Constitution. And I said, Homer, don't you go against the original intent of Dr. J. Frank Norris. He's built the greatest church in America now. And don't you go against what I said, you build, you continue what he's already begun. And may I ask you to go to Fort Worth tonight? Oh, by the way, the successor of Dr. Frank Norris, Homer, I won't call his last name, but I knew him well on a first-name basis, about my age. He was a talented man, and he led them in leaving their downtown. They had a church that looked like this, not a big steeple out in front, not a sanctuary-looking church. As Dr. G.B. Vick used to say, a workshop is what a church ought to look like. And he led them to leave the downtown location. And I, by the way, I have no intention of leaving the downtown location. I'm not going to go out in suburbia and build a massive, beautiful auditorium and go $10 million in debt. We'll just stay down here. Why? Because God's blessed us down here. That's why. Why? Because we've baptized more people in a church in the world down here. That's why. Why? Because the crowds are coming. That's why. And we plan to stay down here. When I'm gone, stay down here. Oh, that church went down and down and down. 3,000 became 400. Hey, look what the improvement did. Look what this young, charismatic man with a charming personality and a good-looking physique and a handsome countenance, look what he did in improving the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. Tonight, after all these years, that man's been gone for a long time now, and the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, probably the mother church of all independent fundamental Baptists, is now back in the Southern Baptist Convention. I said to him, I say to you, don't change the winning batting order. You don't improve it. Look what improvement's done. 39 years ago this August, Mrs. Hiles and I and three children and one on the way came to Hammond, Indiana. When I left Garland, Texas, we had seen, as I've said so often, the first Sunday I was there, we had 44 people. On the first anniversary, with no buses running at all, we had 617. Second anniversary, 1180. Third anniversary, 2212. Fourth anniversary, 3163. And what a wonderful... We led the entire nation in baptisms, and I guess we led the world in baptisms also. What a wonderful ministry. When I left, we had an evangelist in our church, a far better preacher than I, a far more delightful person than I, a man of charisma and charm, a good-looking guy. First name was Tom, and I won't call his last name. And I led the people to call Brother Tom, this evangelist. And I said to him before I left, I said, Tom, now leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't change anything. I said, boy, but he came in, and he was going to improve on what God had done through his Moses there in Miller Road Baptist Church. Tonight, that church is pastored by a good man. And if they had 300 people in Sunday school this morning, I suspect that was a pretty big day. Hey, look what improvement done. Brother, you can't improve on that Bible. You can't improve on the old-time religion. You can't improve on old-time preaching. You can't improve on old-time standards and convictions. And when I'm gone, let me tell you, the same Bible should be read from behind this pulpit. And the same standards, I mean the same doctrine. We preach for these 39 years almost, the virgin birth of Christ, let it be preached when I'm gone. We preach the perfect sinless life of Christ, the vicarious death, the bodily resurrection, the pre-millennial, pre-tribulation rapture and coming of the Savior for his own. When I'm gone, let those same doctrines be echoed to this hallowed place. We've had separation. We've taught our young ladies to dress like young ladies. We taught our young ladies that pants are for men and not for females. I can show you colleges all across this country that a little bit here and a little bit there, the successor of a great man, the successor of a Moses in a college across the country, thought he could improve the college, and the college has gone down and down and down. Let me tell you something. If the standards were right for 1940 and 50, they're right for 1998 also. Dr. G.B. Vick, one of my heroes in heaven now for a number of years, dear friend of mine, Dr. G.B. Vick pastored the great Temple Baptist Church that taught. I preached there on many occasions. And he's preached here. Dr. Vick suddenly passed away at about the age I am now, fell over with a heart attack. Two preachers after him came a young man who was one of the most brilliant minds ever met. This, I knew him well. I mean, personally, preached in his church in Missouri time and time again. And this young man was far more intellectual than G.B. Vick was. And by the way, you watch these intellectual birds that are not for the old-time religion. You watch them carefully. You watch these fellows want to improve on the Bible, improve on God, and preach philosophy more than they do that which is written down in the blessed book. And this man went to that church and improved that church. I talked to him myself again. And I said to him, Truman, don't you improve it. You keep the same thing Dr. Vick had, but this brilliant mind of his and this young man of charisma and talent and ability, he decided to improve. And tonight, that church is just a shame. In fact, that church is not even a fundamental church. You go there tonight, you'll find they left the auditorium, built another auditorium, and the church is a disgrace to fundamentalism. Why? Because somebody decided to improve what Dr. G.B. Vick did. Listen, Joshua, leave it alone. What God commanded Moses, that's good enough for you. You say, you're trying to say, Brother Hiles, that when you leave this place or pass away, that we all do everything just like you did it? Well, you could do a lot worse, I'll tell you for sure. Don't you get a bunch of these new modern songs with a rock beat to it after I'm gone. Don't you get an NIV Bible behind this pulpit after I'm gone. Don't you let the young ladies wear pants and activities when I'm gone. Don't you keep the young men, have young men wearing long hair when I'm gone. And by the way, you keep the same organizational structure at First Baptist Church, Hiles Anderson College, and Hammond Baptist Schools that we have tonight. As the Lord commanded, Joshua left nothing undone of all that God commanded Moses. Now, some of you folks don't like what I'm saying because you're one of those intellectual minds that think you know more. I used to preach every year at the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. Dr. Oswald Smith, one of the great giants, knew him well, preached in his church every year. Oswald Smith passed off the scene, and his son took over the church. I kept on preaching there every year, but the music got to where I couldn't go back anymore. They have the rock beat, gospel music, and brother, rock music is rock music. I don't care what kind of words you're singing. The beat itself is straight out of hell, and it's sensuous. God give us, hey, let's go back to my Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free. Let's go back to the song he sang a while ago, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. Let's go back to come back out of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Let's go back to amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's go back to years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Let's go back to dwelling in Beulah land. Let's go back at the cross where I first saw the light. I'm saying 50 years from now, may the same old-fashioned, proven, tested singing and music come from behind this pulpit that's come all these years. Dr. Charles E. Fuller. I can hear his voice now on the nationwide broadcast. From Long Beach, California. I can hear him now as he preached on this nationwide broadcast. I can hear his voice of pathos saying, God bless you, sailor lad. God bless you, sailor boy. God bless you, sir. God bless you. He started the Fuller Seminary. And Dr. Fuller passed off the scene, and his son took it over. And improved it. Improved it so much, no fundamentalist has anybody scoring there tonight. I mean, improved it. If you, listen, you go to these churches built by the old man, maybe not as polished, maybe not as intellectual, maybe not as gifted, maybe not such a charismatic personality, but bless God, the hand of God was there. Fuller Seminary is gone. Why? Because Dr. Fuller's successor improved it. I could go to Chicago and show you church after church, and I hesitate to say this, but not very long. Go to Moody Church. Moody Church has been improved until it's not a shadow of what it was when Dwight Moody was alive. Oh, yes, I know Moody didn't have a degree. Oh, yes, I know Moody was turned down by the ordination council. Oh, yes, I know Moody was sort of a crude kind of a fella, but the hand of God was upon him. And Moody Church would be a lot better off tonight You should get a bunch of buses and run across this whole area like Dwight L. Moody used to run horse-drawn carriages all over this area and go back to poor people, the down-and-out people, the fallen people, the ghetto people, the bus kids, and bring them back to that church and change their formal service for an old-time religion. Let me tell you something. You can't improve on the old-time religion. I'm gone. I want the same standards. I want the same dress codes. I want the same soul winning. I want the same King James Bible. I want the same organizational structure. Don't get cute after I'm gone. Don't get smart. The greatest church on the face of the earth is good enough now. It's good enough 25 years from now. I'm pivoting now to another subject, same theme. I went to paratroopers in World War II. I played on the fast pitch back in the days when you didn't have slow pitch softball. Everything was fast pitch. I played on the special troops battalion team. I made the all-star team of the 82nd Airborne Division, 10,000 men in the Airborne Division. I was pictured on the all-star team. And then the all-star team of the 50,000 troops in Fort Benning, Georgia, I was the all-star pitcher and pitched on. We played in the 7th Army playoffs. And after we'd won the championship of Fort Benning, Colonel Holman was so proud of us, he decided to have a celebration party. I went to the celebration party because I was the starting pitcher, number one pitcher on the team. Colonel Holman passed the wine out, passed the glasses. He himself started serving the wine. He came to me. He gave me a glass. I turned it upside down and put it on the table. He said, "Sergeant Hiles, are you going to drink the wine?" I said, "No, sir. No, sir." He said, "I command you, drink the wine." I said, "No, sir. No, sir. No, sir." He said, "Obey your superior officer, Sergeant." And I said, "I have, sir. I have, sir. I have, sir." He said, "What superior officer?" I said, "My mama. My mama. My mama taught me not to drink that stuff." I'm saying, I was not with my mama. I was a grown man, United States paratroopers, but I chose to keep myself under subjection to my mama. What God commanded my mama, I did not leave it undone. Some of the guys got me down and tried to pour whiskey down my mouth, but thank God my jaw muscles are the most powerful muscles I have. They never pried my mouth open, and thank God not one drop of alcoholic beverage ever gone through this mouth. I'm saying that what God told my mama told me, I didn't have to ask God what to do. My mama told me what God told her. You're on vacation. You go to a casino in Las Vegas. Or better still, they got those satanic things right here in our own city. God have mercy on our city government. Gambling's illegal. You have a gambling party in your home, they'll raid you, and yet the same fellows that authorized the raid, they're, by the way, that's what they're using to fix Sibley with. I'd rather Sibley be a dirt road with gravel sidewalks and to take the money earned in a dirty gambling casino. But wait a minute. I was out in Reno, Nevada preaching. Hotel I stayed in, they're everywhere. They got the one armed bandits at the airports out there. I mean, just hundreds of them in the airports. I stayed in this hotel, and every time I walked through the lobby, I saw those one armed bandits. I'm a preacher. I've been preaching 50 years. This is about a year and a half ago. I looked at that thing and I said, "I wonder how that works." I don't see any deacons here. Come to think of it, I did see some deacons there. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go on vacation, obey your absent authority. You're in a motel room, they got HBO and Showtime and Movie Channel and all the other satanic things that show the decadence of our country. You obey your absent authority. Let your Moses be your boss even when he's gone. Moses was going up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. He leaves his assistant Aaron in charge of the people. When God called Moses, he said, Moses, Aaron will be to you a spokesman or a voice, get this now, and you will be to Aaron as God. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote it, so take it up with him. Said, Moses, you will be to Aaron as God. You guys understand that, don't you? Just want you to know it. I want you to be sure and bow down before me as I walk through beside you. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Moses. God said to Moses, you'll be to Aaron as God. Moses goes on Mount Sinai. Aaron's authority is absent. Moses, his authority is absent. Aaron was a loyal man to Moses as long as the authority was there. But when the boss man was gone, now what's he going to do? He's going to take the earrings from women, put them in a mold, make a golden calf, and go back to Egyptian-type worship of a golden calf. They're going to have some rock music and some dancing, and they're going to strip off their clothes and be half-naked like American fundamentalism, or pardon me, evangelicalism is today. Moses comes back with the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. Here's the music. Here's what's going on. Takes the stone and breaks them on the rock and says, you've already broken the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image. Thou shalt adore the gods before me. What happened? Aaron did exactly what people in America are doing tonight. They're loyal to authority until the authority is gone. Prodigal son. We have nothing in the story of the prodigal son that would imply that he was an immoral boy. He simply wanted his portion of that for the inheritance and leave home, that's all. We have no record of an alcoholic beverage or taking dope. We have no record of sexual immorality. But when the prodigal son left home, his authority wasn't there. And the prodigal son did not. He should have obeyed his dad, even though his dad wasn't there. Now you listen to me. You Howells Anderson College people are going to go home for a while this summer. You stay under the rules of Howells Anderson College while you're gone. You folks on vacation, you live with the standards of the old First Baptist Church of Hammond, even while you're gone and not living under authority. Lot. As long as Lot lived with Abraham, he was submissive. But Lot's submission to Abraham only was while Abraham was present. When Abraham was not present, Lot had chosen the well-watered plains toward Sodom. He went down and down and down and down. He should have lived by the commandments that God gave to Abraham. Same thing about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. If Eve had been home making brownies, she wouldn't have seen that fruit. That's where every woman ought to be, is home making brownies. So you have graduated from Howells Anderson College. I'm sorry, Hammond Baptist High School. So you have graduated from Hammond Baptist High School. You let Mr. Boyd be your principal even though you graduated. You live by what he taught you. You live with the standards of Hammond Baptist High School. A little tired of seeing some of our graduates out and seeing the gals wearing shorts or pants and the fellas wearing long hair. You are opposed to Hammond Baptist schools and all the work and labor we've invested in those schools. Those rules are not for you to keep for 4 years. They're for you to keep for life. You young bus kids that go to City Baptist High School, you're graduating. Mr. Douglas ought to be your principal from now on. So you got your diploma. The rules aren't for just for school. The rules are for life. You folks who graduated from Howells Anderson College, let Dr. Evans be your college president as long as you live. You heard what that man said a while ago when he's testifying here. Said he went down to Tennessee and visited one church, one of our graduates. He said, our graduate's building a church exactly like First Baptist Church at Hammond down in Tennessee. And I'll tell you something else, too. I double dog dare you to check with young men around America building churches, and this is their model, and they're still under subjection, as it were, to the First Baptist Church of Hammond because they're indebted to us because what we've taught them and how we've trained them. You check those that are doing that way, and you'll find successful churches, but you check those trying to improve on what they learned at Howell Center's and College, and you'll find a bunch of flops and failures. So, you're going home for the summer. Let the authority under which you've been for 9 months be over you while you're gone. Let me make it a little plainer. If you have to have chaperones with you when you date 9 months a year, you ought to have chaperones when you date the other 3 months. And that goes to faculty members and staff members as well as children and young people. You ought not to have hair check in the summertime. Check it yourself. Go to Howells Henderson College for 9 months and you dress modestly, then go out and lay on a beach like a bunch of half-naked heifers on a beach causing the lust of young men to be stirred. We're not trying to keep you right 9 months a year, but 365 days a year. So you're going on to start a church. Don't be cute. Don't be cute. I was out Wednesday night, preached for our graduate Corey Sujan in Longmont, California. Just a small church, of course. He started the church. But it's a little First Baptist church in Hammond. You say, Brother Hiles, are you expecting all your graduates to copy you and do it exactly like First Baptist Church Hammond? I imagine so. And there's not a student here can improve on it. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. You check it very carefully. Paul said, witnesses who saw the Savior have handed some truths down to me. Now, not only a message, but methods down to me. Paul said to Timothy, now I hand it down to you. Now, Timothy, you hand it down to godly men who may teach others also. He said, generation number one gave it to me. I, as generation number two, gave it to you. You, as generation number three, give it to godly men. And they, as generation number four, teach others also. That means the same message, the same methods that the Apostle Paul got from the New Testament church people, the witnesses of Christ's ministry on earth. 5 generations, Paul said, I want it the same. The very same. Quickly, and I'll close. Stay under authority when out from under authority. Joshua, you're smart. You're a general. Moses was not a general. You're a brilliant man. Why don't you, and I don't like this, why don't you build on what Moses did? No, why don't you keep doing what Moses did? And Joshua left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. What are you saying? Well, I have a hard time explaining what I mean. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that this church, 50 years from now, after the man is gone that follows me, I want this building to be filled. I want this altar filled. I want souls saved by the hundreds and thousands every year. I want there to be one place in this old world where the 1940s and 50s are still alive. Somebody said to me not long ago, said, well, you're out of date. You're 50 years out of date. I said, and you're out of sense, too. I'm not 50 years out of date. I'm 2,000 years out of date. And Joshua let nothing undone of all that God commanded. That's it. Again, I'm through. You're under authority. When you get out from under that authority, you choose to stay under that authority. And Joshua left nothing undone of all that Moses commanded. Summertime, the purpose of this message is twofold. To keep this church what it is for another 50 years, and number two, to keep you, even when you're not in the presence of your authority, to keep you obeying the authority under whom you were. Every once in a while I have a dream. I dream a lot. I dream sometimes about I'm going to a movie. Or was that a dream? Well, I dream sometimes I'm going to a movie. I'm preaching somewhere across the country, and I'll say nobody's going to see me. And this dream always works out this way, Brother Bordway. I go in the movie, it's dark in there, and I'll say, there ain't no way in the world anybody can see me. So I sit down, and guess who's beside me? That man right there. What I'd like to know is how come you're going to so many movies, what I want to know. And I always try to hide myself, and then I take off and leave the movie. What I'm trying to say is, no matter where you are, vacation, hotel room, home for the summer, no matter where you are, graduation, no matter where you are, you always do what I said to Colonel Holman. High authority, sir! Who is that high authority, Hiles? My mama! My mama's been gone since 1984, but I still obey her. I still obey her. Our Heavenly Father,